so.
My daughter found these outside.
I'd like to call the Commerce, Gaming, and Land Committee meeting to order. The time is 10:02. The first item on the agenda is roll call.
Congresswoman Pratt. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here.
Second Speaker Stabler.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Chair Goodfox.
Present. Congresswoman Pratt sent an email to the chair letting us know that she wouldn't be here. The nation was closed due to inclement weather, and she's got three in immersion. So next item on the agenda is prayer. Congressman Walker, will you please say our prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day. Lord, just be with us today as we conduct the business of the nation and those that we serve, Lord. Lord, just pray for those that are sick and in mourning, Lord. And Lord, just please forgive us for our sins. All these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Move to approve the minutes from September 26th as presented.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Motion.
Do we have six or five here?
It didn't show. It says you were absent. Oh.
There were six. Gotcha.
Motion passes. Next item on our agenda is an update from ones. And around we've got Chair Red Eagle, the CEO, David Conrad, and we have their Director of Operations, Jackie Jones, there. Please come to the table.
Me, I'm sorry. Taking a
hand my All right, this meeting was requested by ones, and we got a little bit of an agenda after them, but they're the ones who requested the meeting for Commerce to come together. So I'm going to give the floor to Chair Red Eagle.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. First, I'd like to say hello and appreciate the Commerce Committee for giving us this time. I'd like to first make some introductions. Mr. David Conrad is here. He's our CEO and President of the company. Ms. Jackie Jones is Vice President of Operations. We also have here fellow board member Anthony Webb and our one of our chief consultants, Mr. Paul Yates, is here this morning. And then one of vital team player that's helping us in contract acquisition, Ms. Michelle Hawley. Michelle. And one that keeps us sane and on track is our good office administrator, director, Ms. Cheyenne. Aaron, Cheyenne Aaron, too many names, or I'm too old, one or the other. But those are the people I was saying my little opening comment. It was not for them, we cannot come to you today with the confidence and the accomplishments that have transpired over the last 2 years. So I've got to give high praise and always thanking them for how hard they work. The diligence, and what's so wonderful to watch is their application of their skills, talents, educations, and willingness to help the Osage Nation through the ONES LLC. With that said, I'd just like to ask the Madam Chairman if we could have some time in executive session.
Yes, is there anything that you can leave in open session?
Yes.
I put an executive session in here for confidential matters, but if whatever you can share to the public would be great. And then let us know when we need to go into executive session. We'll have a motion for that, and then we'll do that.
Right. Thank you.
You have the floor.
So thank you for this time. And this first document, I'm not sure if it's first in your packet, but the one that's marked confidential, I wasn't sure how to do the watermark on just the last two pages or last three pages. So it's the whole thing is marked confidential, but all of it is not confidential. So I think we could discuss a lot of our progress in open session, which is really significant, I think. So since coming on board or moving from the board to the operations side of the company in January 2018, when there was basically, there was still a lot of confusion or uncertainty as to which exact areas in environment the company was going to move in to today. You can see from this, the way it's laid out, we've covered a lot of ground. So you can see we've developed some key capabilities, and we've learned as we've gone along, initially focusing solely on National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA compliance, and professional services and consulting. We're noticing how a lot of the solicitations were combined with other skill sets that we didn't, that we weren't focusing on. So we've expanded our partnerships to include our partnership matrix. So we have a number of partners that are outlined later, but basically the partnership matrix is companies with skills in certain geographic areas and with track records with certain federal agencies. So by combining these, we can go after work in different geographic areas with different agencies, with partners that have the past performance that we don't have that will help us win contracts. So as we're looking at everything that's coming out through the federal solicitations, we're thinking, who's the best match? You know, how do we assemble the team for this? How do we go after this? So that's why we have a partnership matrix that can cover, and it's still not, it doesn't cover the entire United States, but it covers a great portion, including here specifically in Oklahoma. The areas I think that we're generally lacking are the Northeast, Great Lakes, and Alaska. Everything else, we have a partner in the area that can work with us to go after federal contracts. So the main point there is we've expanded our key capabilities, the last very last sentence there, to include the environmental architecture engineering as well as some civil works capacity. So we have a partner that does earth moving as well as folks that do the engineering design and construction. So in addition to our professional services, we can go after these larger contracts that are bundled in that manner. So we're learning and we're adapting as we progress. And from that date until most recently, we've actually won some contracts. So not only are we producing proposals, which are a great amount of work, just to produce a compliant proposal to win, we've actually won a few. So you can see we were a subcontractor designing a public engagement plan for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in the Willamette Valley for their dam system, which was, it's about 12 dams, I believe, in the Willamette Valley, and that's the most populous and educated portion of the state of Oregon. So highly engaged population there. We've completed three environmental assessments for the Bureau of Indian Affairs Pawnee Agency, specifically on oil and gas leasing. We're leading a viability assessment on the Oto Missouri Tribe's drinking water reservoir project. And we're currently performing environmental assessments on housing demolition for the Pawnee Nation. So not only is the Pawnee Agency, but the Pawnee Nation, two different customers, we point out. And then we've also been engaged by the Minerals Council through a subcontract with Pipestem Law to provide comments on the draft environmental impact statement on oil and gas for the Osage Nation, which is probably the most important environmental document affecting oil and gas production in the last 20 years, since 1979. And it will have impacts. I think the date out is, what was it, 20, into the 2030s, basically, is have a lasting impact. Paul, the lasting impact of the draft EIS, the federal decision made, is going to have
an
for 20 years. So it's a big significant, important document, and we're providing professional analysis and comments, and we're bundling them all up, working with Pipestem Law to provide the final set of comments for the Minerals Council that will submit to the federal government on time, and they've extended their comment period to February 22nd, I believe. And then we've submitted a proposal, and this will get into why I can include two proposal submissions here. Is important because it leads into the strategy piece where the nation can play a role as well. We submitted a proposal for environmental assessment of the abandoned railroad right-of-way property back here for development. And then we've also submitted a proposal for cultural resource surveys for the Osage Nation regarding six properties. And I'm not exactly sure how they may be properties that were acquired through the land buyback program, but as land comes in and there's a Osage Nation ownership, apparently the nation wants to do cultural resource surveys on those, and we have the capacity to do that. And this is part of the strategy, and part of the strategy that we've talked to federal agencies about is, rather than increase full-time federal employees, or in this case, full-time tribal employees, if you have certain projects that you know are limited in scope and scale and time, surging or supplementing your workforce with contractors is the most efficient, effective way to use dollars to get the work done. So you don't bring on people for a short-term project and then have them sitting around afterwards and try to find work for them to do. You hire a contractor to do the work and get you the results in the short amount of time. So that's part of the value of value proposition of the company, is that we're a contractor, we can scale workforce for clients as needed. So then we go on to, there's a section here, qualifications of key personnel. And the full-time employees who are under payroll and have the regular taxes withheld and everything else is myself, Jackie, and Cheyenne, Jeff Watts, Paul Yates, are what we call 1099 contractors, but they're key personnel and key technical capacity for us. Ray Clark, Kurt Walters are senior advisors, and we're under more of a retainer relationship, and those have either ended or are no longer or under suspended pay. So, but they continue to work for us on a voluntary basis. So that's, and you can see, you can go through there at your leisure. I don't want to have to read everybody's bio, but I think it's a very impressive group of folks that have all come and are working with the company and helping us win and develop proposals and also perform work, especially on the draft environmental impact statement comments. And then the next section, we have qualifications of key partners. And this is basically our partnership matrix. So cultural resource analysts provides us some cultural resource capacity. And they were originally recommended to us by Dr. Hunter as a good source of expertise. Espinosa Consulting has been working with us for a while. We have a joint venture with them, and we continue to look for opportunities. They're graduating from the 8A program, but they have other qualifications, you know, economic disadvantaged woman-owned small business. E&E Consulting, it's energy or environment and ecology. They're a large company that was acquired by an even larger company. So they have a partnership there through that relationship that is actually, it's global. We're in the final stages of negotiating an MOU with them to say that we are partners and we can start the strategic planning for outlook on projects and areas where we're going to join together. And Gulf South Research Corporation is headquartered out of Baton Rouge. They have, they're very successful and very fast growing, very competent. Parametrics is a medium-sized employee-owned company out of Seattle. Reagan Smith Energy Solutions is out of Oklahoma City. And they've been a really stalwart, terrific partner on all of the oil and gas projects. And they have even more tools, a fantastic GIS tool that includes lots of information that it'd be great if we had an opportunity to do a demonstration for you at some point so you could see the capabilities there. Because it could have significance for Minerals Council, but also for asset management. The Clark Group is a woman-owned small business out of Washington, D.C. They're more of a boutique national environmental policy shop, providing services to the federal agencies that you see included in there. Wallace Engineering is our architectural engineering design partner. And Jackie actually brought them to the table and partnering on the Otoe, Missouri project. Williams Diversified Materials is the folks that can move sand and gravel, and they have the bulldozers and the trucks, and they're out of Kansas or out of Missouri. Baxter Springs, Kansas, but they've been involved in environmental work related to Tar Creek. The next section is our finances, and here we mention that we feel that we're in compliance with the monthly reporting that's required in the annual audits. We're committed to proactive financial transparency. We're working closely with Mr. Guild on sharing our information so he can examine it and work looking at projections going into the future. We have very low overhead costs. And the next section is our business development plan. We've attached the full SBA-approved business plan for the next year. And it's just continuing to press forward in the environmental field with, you know, it gets into a lot more detail, but continuing in the federal contracting and trying to utilize the 8A designation more effectively. So we received that at the end of September this year. And just as we were we were hoping, they said in back last year in March that it had been processed and approved. It had gone on for final approval with legal counsel. And we should get some sort of notification in June. Nothing happened. We reached out and got support from the chief's office to inquire of Senator Lankford, where is it, you know, what's going on? They said that they were aware of it and they're working on it. And then finally, we got notification at the end of September, at the end of the fiscal or federal procurement season, that we had received that 8A designation. So October to now, it's kind of a dry season on federal procurement. There still are some out there, especially with the Corps of Engineers, and we're continuing to examine those and build our business development pipeline. But we're at a stage where we have it. We have some past performance now. It's critically important for a contracting officer representative in the federal government, if they're going to use the 8A tool, that they have full confidence that the 8A company that they're going to award sole source without competition is going to actually do the work and be able to complete it. So past performance is really critical before they will do that. It's almost a prerequisite. Without any of that, they won't award 8A sole source contracts. So we're building the past performance. We have a little track record. And the partnerships that we have, all of those folks have outstanding reputations and relationships with contracting officer representatives. And they're either timing out on their 8A or they don't have an 8A. And so we're the 8A partner. We're telling them that we're the 8A partner that they need, and they're exploring it, and they're partnering with us to use the 8A. They're supportive of the tribal corporation and putting tribal people to work. One of our, we've been very diligent. You know, HR is not the easiest thing, but we've been diligent in trying to make sure that we maximize the number of Osages that are employed and engaged with the company. So it really does have a true impact on the economic outcome of the nation and the people. With those partners, with the 8A designation, and we're just tipping into the heavier part of the federal procurement season. All the solicitations will start coming out in greater number, February, March, April timeframe. Awards will be, you know, probably into the May, June, July. And so we're just entering into the heavy season with our 8A, with past performance, with partners, and we feel excited about that. But, you know, the other situation is, which is the part that we have we want to discuss in executive session, and so, which is the final section of this prospectus, if you will. It's there are flexible investment options and strategic decisions, and one of the main points there that I'd like to point out before we go into executive session, and we can have questions, comments, whatever, but the main point there is that. Even no decision is a decision. Everything has consequences here at this stage of the game in the company's life and trajectory. So with that, we lay out five scenarios or options. Some of them can be combined, or there may be things that we haven't thought of, but I try to lay out an option and then explain some considerations in considering that option. I haven't done a thorough examination of all the considerations, but I wanted to get, it's a conversation piece. It's a conversation starter for executive session. And then we have a preferred scenario as a final recommendation at the end. And then in addition to this, we have our pro forma, and then we've also attached our SBA business plan. So that's it in a nutshell.
She didn't receive a business plan.
Okay. We'll make sure that you get another copy. We did submit it under a different in November, but we're attaching it again. But we'll send it again to make sure that everybody has it all together.
Congresswoman Whitehorn. That was what you presented at the last meeting in September to us, is your business plan, which hasn't changed. I do have a copy of that.
Okay, yeah.
So it was presented to us in September. And I see Jackie saying yes.
Yes.
It was. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, are you ready for executive session?
Yes.
Anyone want to make a motion?
So moved.
We're now entering executive session.
want to go over here in our...
You could tell, right. I mean, if they can work.
Oh, it's fine. Sidewalk, wait a minute.
Oh, that's Shannon.
You need to talk to utility.
Their board obviously can stay.
I think they have a couple of staff here.
That's up to them.